It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Hepatitis A, hepatitis C, you hear about them. What are the differences? How do you contract them? Is it permanent? Is it life-threatening? My guest is Dr. Lisa Olson. She's the medical director for sexualhealth.com, and she is a great guest with excellent information. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lisa. Let's start with hepatitis C. Tell us what it is. Tell us how it's found, whether we should get tested for it, how it's contracted, and what do we do about it?
Okay, Melanie, I'll do that for you. So hepatitis C is actually the most common chronic bloodborne infection in this country. More than 3 million people have chronic hepatitis C. Most of those people don't know it. Hepatitis C is often spread through blood transmission. So prior to 1992, we didn't screen blood transfusions for hepatitis C. So anyone who had a transfusion prior to 1992 could have contracted hepatitis C and might still be living with it without knowing it. Also, anyone who's ever used injectable drugs, even just one time, you know, in the 60s or the 70s, way back, they might have contracted hepatitis C and might not know it. Occasionally, hep C can be spread through sex or through other types of blood contamination. And so most people have one of those risk factors. But what we've also learned is that people born between 1945 and 1965 have a very high rate of hepatitis C, even if they don't have any of those other risk factors and they don't live with someone or have a partner with hepatitis C. So people born between 1945 and 1965 should be tested for it just to be sure that they don't have it without knowing it. Hepatitis C is often silent.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's often silent. Now, what would you recommend? You know, you mentioned the baby boomers and that we might not even know. So what do you recommend? Do you recommend that we all go where? To someone such as yourself, to our internist, to our gynecologist, and just get the test?
I think the important thing is you just get it somewhere. So I work at sexualhealth.com. You can get testing through our company going online. But you could definitely go to your primary care doctor and just say, I understand that the Centers for Disease Control is recommending hepatitis C screening for people my age, and they'll do a blood test for you. The important thing to know is that the first blood test that's done is always an antibody test. Sometimes there are false positives with that. So getting a positive antibody test is no reason to panic. When that happens, you get another test that actually looks for the RNA of the virus, looks for the viral particles, and that's the definitive test. That test is usually done only for someone who's positive on an antibody screening test. If you've been donating blood regularly, however, your blood is getting screened and tested for hepatitis C, and we never recommend that as a way to test for hep C, but you know, many people are blood donors and donate at the Red Cross or Life Source. And if you're doing that and have never been called, you're probably okay. But always go to your primary care doctor, your gynecologist, internist, family practitioner, or sexualhealth.com to get tested.
That's an interesting thing that you just said, because if you have been a donor, you would get the call, right? If you had hepatitis C, because I've been donating blood twice a year for lots of years. And if I had it, I would get a call, right? Or I'd get that letter,
Melanie.
Or whatever.
Exactly. Now, I'm always a little nervous saying that because I know the Red Cross doesn't want people to think of donating blood as a way to screen for hepatitis or HIV. But, yeah, if you look back and say, I've donated a bunch of times, I've never gotten a call, yeah, you're fine then.
Wow, that's very interesting. Absolutely. Now, hepatitis A, completely different. And
completely different.
Okay, so, and it's not,
Well,
it's just transmitted so differently and has kind of nothing, it seems like they have nothing to do with each other.
That's right. So the way that they are similar is that they both cause inflammation of the liver. And but hepatitis C can become chronic and is spread through blood. Hepatitis A is usually a very self-limited infection. People feel like they just have some food poisoning or a touch of the stomach flu, and often they're not even sick enough to seek medical care. Sometimes they are, but they usually just feel like, I think I ate something bad, and they get better within a week or two. So hepatitis A is a foodborne infection, and it manifests with upset stomach, diarrhea. Very rarely do people get so severely ill that their skin or their eyes turn yellow or they end up in the hospital. That would be quite uncommon. Now, in terms of how it's spread, hepatitis A is spread by contaminated food or water. We think of that as something that might happen to a traveler in a third world country, but in fact, it can also happen right here in the United States. And we've seen in the past month some news reports that there are some berry mixtures that were sold at a local food, or not just local, a national food chain that were contaminated with hepatitis A. How does that happen? An employee there probably had hepatitis A with mild symptoms, didn't realize they were really sick, went to the bathroom, didn't wash their hands well, touched the berries, and then those became contaminated with hepatitis A and can be spread to others that way. People who eat the contaminated berries could then get the infection. But it can happen at restaurants. It can happen with contaminated food that you might get at a grocery store. So I think the really important message there is we should all be washing our hands very carefully when we go to the bathroom. You should wash your hands as long as it takes to sing the ABCs in your head.
Well, you know, we've been hearing about that, and I think that, you know, people have heard that another thing you should do when you go to the doctor's office and or you're in the hospital for something is that it's not out of line, and tell me what you think of this, to ask your doctor, did you wash your hands? If you don't see the doctor come in, now my pediatrician, for example, comes in and either washes her hands or uses the sanitizer just right away in front of us.
I think that's great. I love it. And, you know, as a doctor, I used to, you know, when I was trained, we always washed our hands after we were done with the patient. But I think it's important these days that you wash your hands after you're done. Then when you touch the doorknob to leave the exam room, you're touching it with a clean hand. And then when you walk in the next exam room, you wash your hands or sanitize again. It's really important that you as a patient see your doctor doing that. So it's twice as much hand washing for the doctors, but that's not going to hurt us. And I think it's really important to do. And no, I don't think anyone should be offended if you ask them to wash. I think that's really reasonable.
Well,
the other thing is we can protect ourselves.
Oh, no, yes, go on. Absolutely. You can protect yourself.
You can protect yourself against hepatitis A by getting vaccinated, which is really great. We used to only think of the hepatitis A as a traveler's vaccine. So if someone came to me and said, I'm going to India or I'm going to Mexico, I would give them the hepatitis A vaccine. But nowadays, I think many pediatricians are just routinely immunizing kids against hepatitis A when they do their other immunizations like Hep B and others. And so adults can get it too. So if you're traveling, definitely see your primary care provider to get a hepatitis A vaccine. But even if you're not, it's, you know, there's very little downside to getting that vaccine just in case you are exposed to hepatitis A.
Now, why don't you wrap it up? We have about 30 seconds left. Dr. Lisa, you are a great guest. Thank you so much for all your great information. And wrap it up for us. Hepatitis A, hepatitis C, just your best advice.
Okay. My best advice is for hepatitis A, get a vaccine, wash your hands, clean your food, and eat in places that feel safe to you in terms of the cleanliness. The hepatitis C advice I would give is just get tested. So many people become chronic carriers without knowing it. Don't wait until you get sick from a liver problem, especially if you were a baby boomer. See your primary care doctor or go to sexualhealth.com to get a test.
Sexualhealth.com. She is the medical director. You're listening to Radio MD. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole, and we all really need to stay well.